It's a pleasure to worship alongside you this morning. I'd like to thank Pastor Wayne for giving me the opportunity to preach. And also, as we've said, I want to encourage you to pray for the South Africa mission team. I do know that a few of them have had a little bit of sickness, so if you want a prayer request, pray that they all stay healthy for the rest of the week, that they get healthy and they stay healthy. On this July 4th weekend, I think it's also right for us to thank our servicemen and women, those who have served our country and afforded us the freedom that we have. And I also think it's right for us to acknowledge that every good gift we have comes from the Lord. And so we should be thankful to the Lord for the freedoms that we enjoy. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you have a pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 131. I encourage you to turn there and stay there because I'll reference it a few times this morning. Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 1. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's interesting to me because as I read this scripture this week, the first words stuck out to me. Be careful. Be careful. But then as Moses goes on, as he speaks more, he starts to describe this land that Israel is about to inhabit. And the more he talks about it, the more you see that it is an abundantly good land. There's honey and pomegranates. There's water. Can't you imagine that after 40 years in the desert, they're ready for a land with pools and streams and water? He says that there's going to be a land that they never have to worry about where the bread's coming from. Wouldn't you imagine that after time of slavery in Egypt, where they're worried about what they're going to eat, when they're wandering through the desert and they don't see any flour around them, don't you imagine they're excited to be in this good land? Why then does Moses start by saying, be careful? If we're going somewhere good, what's there to be careful about? It reminds me a little bit of a story from my childhood. When I was growing up, I often helped cook dinner or prepare dinner. Mom would give me one task, and so sometimes I would be on salad duty. So I would go to the fridge, a place where all the food was, and I would get out the lettuce, we'd get the tomatoes, we'd get a cucumber out, and I would prepare that. And then I'd get the different dressings. And there was always a balsamic for the most part, and then there was always a ranch, and sometimes a third dressing. But the ranch and the balsamic were staples, so I would make sure I grabbed them and I put them on the table. And if you were to come and sit and eat with us at our table, you might find that the ranch bottle had a caution sign on it. On the top of the ranch bottle in big black Sharpie was written, "Care," in capital letters. What is a caution flag doing in our fridge? a place of abundance, a place of good. What is this? And should we heed its warning or should we just go on with our salad? Well, you would be like me. You would unscrew the top. You would flip it over and out would come half the bottle of ranch because you were not careful. This is no squeeze bottle. It was an open mouth bottle. You should be gentle with it. But you were not. I was not. And thus, the care on the bottle was born. And so many, many ranch bottles in our house had this warning on them. And we would laugh and joke about it from time to time. Care, care with the ranch. As Israel is about to go into the promised land, Moses is trying to write care on all the good blessings they're about to receive. Because he knows that if they get into the land and they eat and they're satisfied, that there's going to be a temptation to not thank the Lord, to not respond in praise, but be distracted by the abundance and the goodness, to turn the good things into a God thing and to try to idolize those things. And so this morning, I think we would be wise to heed Moses' two warnings. There's two warning signs he has for us. And the first is the warning sign of escapism. Escapism. Now, there's a difference between rest and escapism. It's good for you after a long week of work to go home and enjoy a Saturday, to take a nap on a Saturday. That's rest. If you go home and on Saturday you pretend like Monday is never coming, that is escapism. If you pretend like all those problems from your week aren't real, that is escapism. Escapism is acting like the bad times never happened. You ignore grief. You try to suppress your loneliness. You deny that you've ever been hurt before. And we just try to shove all the bad things down and not talk about them. That is escapism. It's not just a past thing, though. Escapism is a future problem, too, because we pretend like the bad things aren't coming back, that there won't ever be that Monday when we have to go back to work, that our actions right now won't have consequences for us that we have to deal with in the future, that our seasons won't change, that if we're on a winning streak now, surely this will last forever, right? Escapism is ignoring that fact. And where does it lead us? It leads us to idolizing the circumstances we're in. It leads to a place where you have no buoyancy in life. Buoyancy is like a buoy. When a wave comes, it floats up with it. And then when there's a trough, it's able to stay afloat. And even when the storms crash on it, the buoy stays near the top. If you are an escapist, then you're just a slave to your circumstances. And on the highs, you're on top of the world, and in the lows, you forget that there ever was a high. You get really low. And this is the truth that Moses is trying to hold up for us today. He's saying, yes, escapism is dangerous, but he's trying to give us a better way. Look at how he reminds Israel of the good things that God has given them in the desert. Look back at verse 2. He says, God himself has directed you. You need to look back and remember those hard times when you get to the promised land because God was present with you. Don't you remember the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud, how the Lord literally walked with you, beside you, daily for the past 40 years? Wouldn't it be a shame if you got to the promised land, if you got to a land of abundance, and you forgot that he's been walking beside you? Escapism, yes, would tell us to forget all the hard times, but we would forget the Lord's presence along with it. Verses 3 and 4 mention how God had provided for Israel. I think this is just fascinating. It talks about how God provided manna from heaven. It also talks about how their feet didn't swell. What a blessing. They wandered the wilderness for 40 years and their feet never swole. And their clothes never wore out. Their shoes didn't go bad. The Lord had provided for them. He had done a miracle. And if they were to get to the promised land and pretend that their past was not a reality, if they tried to shove it down, then they would miss out on the fact that God had provided for them, that he was present with them, that he provided for them. Also, this had all had an effect on them. Moses reminds them, you were humbled in the desert. The Lord himself humbled you. He made you hungry in the desert, and then the result was you're humbled. You've been transformed. You were disciplined in the desert. You were chastened. You were matured. You've been forgiven in the desert. You're a different person now than when you first entered the desert. Because 40 years ago, the Israelites came to the promised land. They were on the brink of it. And when they looked over into the promised land and saw all the people who were there, they were so scared that they didn't want to go. But the Lord has changed them over this time. He's disciplined them. They're more faithful. They rely on the Lord more. They have a strength of character now that they didn't have before. If we are escapists, if we pretend like the bad times in life aren't ever going to happen again, and they haven't happened to us yet, then we'll miss out on the ways that the Lord is with us, we'll forget the ways the Lord has provided, and we'll miss the ways that he has transformed us to be better, more faithful people today because of those hard seasons. And so how should you and I apply this first truth? We should expect the hard times in life, but we should also expect the transformation that they bring to us. We should remember the Lord's special presence with us in those hard seasons and the lessons that he teaches us during those times. And we should value that. Now, just because hard times are to be expected doesn't mean that you should be walking through them alone. And so if you are in a season of darkness, I want you to know that this church, that these ministers, we want to be a place of light to you, that we want to bring you to Jesus, to walk alongside you in the hard times. So if you're going through a hard season this morning, hear me say that you're not meant to go through it alone. Moses holds up a second warning sign for us. He has a second ranch bottle with the word care written on it. And this ranch bottle is the bottle of materialism. He says, be careful about materialism. What is materialism? It is a form of idolatry. And idolatry, at its most simple, is believing that a thing can give us that which only God can provide. So we might be tempted in some of these ways. We might tell ourselves, if we pay off our house, we'll have peace. We won't have that stress of the house. We might tell ourselves that if we just work hard enough, we'll have security in all of life. We might tell ourselves that if we achieve a certain status, that if we're elected to a certain position, then we'll finally feel accepted, and that'll be enough. Materialism is a form of this, where we think that if we have enough stuff, then we can gain our own acceptance, our own peace, our own salvation. It's like having the new phone is going to get you praise from your colleagues. And ultimately, materialism is valuing the gift over the giver. Valuing the gift over the giver. And what's the effect of material on our lives? Why is Moses so concerned about it? He's worried because it shifts our goals. Materialism shifts our goals. Our goals were godliness and following the Lord. They were faithfulness, but now it's simple, fleeting pleasures. It changes our goals from pursuing goodness, integrity, and character to now we're just chasing the next dopamine high. It shifts us also to a works-based or a karma-based mindset where we think that if we work hard enough or just do the right thing, we're always going to get paid back. You can kind of sniff out idols in your life because they're always tit for tat. It's always, if I do enough of this, then this good thing will be mine. Moses knows they're about to go into a land of abundance where they could start to put their hope in these good gifts instead of in the Lord. And ultimately, that would leave them feeling empty. There is no gift that can fill us like the Lord can. And so Moses' truth is that only God can provide for them in a lasting, meaningful way. And he reminds them of this. I think our scripture from Matthew chapter 4 reminds us of this as well. Jesus is in the wilderness. He's being tempted right before he starts his earthly ministry. And the first temptation is the temptation of materialism. He's hungry. He's been fasting. And Satan comes to him and says, "Aren't you God? Don't you see these rocks? Can't you have bread? Come on, turn it, eat. Won't this fill you up? Won't this solve all your problems?" And how does Jesus respond? He responds with this very chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He quotes it as he says, "Man does not rely on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." He's saying that we should learn to live by God's commands, even if that means it'll make us a little hungry. It's worth it. We should focus on the giver over the gifts. So I encourage you, be thankful. Intentionally stop and thank the Lord. Intentionally name him as the one who's providing these good gifts. It's like the choir saying in our call to worship, "In God we trust, in God alone." That level of thankfulness is your best defense against materialism. And so this morning, what would it look like for us to look around our own lives and find the places of abundance? Find the ranch bottles, find the good things that you enjoy, and to write a reminder on them. Say, "Care, be thankful. Remember the ways the Lord has worked, not just in these good times, but also in the bad." It's important, it's vital for us to do this. Moses sees it this way because he knows that as they enter the land, they'll have a choice to continue following the Lord and relying on him or to go their own way. And he knows that escapism is an empty promise. It forgets the Lord's presence. It forgets the Lord's work in our lives. And it denies that the Lord will be at work if we ever face a hard season again. Moses knows that materialism shifts our focus to things that were never meant to fulfill us and that were never going to last. So how can we be careful? We can remember and we can be thankful. Yes, we should remember the hard seasons of life. Not for the hard themselves, but we should remember the lessons that we learned from that and the relationship that we had with the Lord in those times. And second, we should be thankful, intentionally thankful. What would it look like for you to go to the beach and as you're walking down the boardwalk, pause with your family? Don't let anyone's foot touch the sand. First, we need to pray and just thank the Lord that we get to be here today. Together as a family. It would be radical. It would be strange. It would be like writing "care" on the top of your ranch bottle, but it would be good for your heart and for the people around you. So find those ranch bottles and write your reminders because it's worth it and it's important. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank you for all the good gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the abundance in our own lives, the abundance of relationships, of people and friends, the abundance of things, the blessings that we enjoy. I pray that you would protect our hearts from escapism and materialism, that we would learn to lean on you and depend on you through every season of life, and that we would be thankful for you, never forgetting and always thanking. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. Our response hymn this morning is number hymn 509. If you would like to respond this morning by sitting and praying as a family, I encourage you to do that. Or maybe you'd like to join the church. You could meet me at the front. I'd be happy to meet you. Or you can respond by standing and singing. I invite you to do so now.